Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 19, we will read verses 1 through 10. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1496. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants. Listen. Amen. Luke 19, 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for Zacchaeus was of short stature. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Zacchaeus makes for a delightful children's Bible story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. As the Savior came that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. What a delightful story it is about a short tree-climbing man. What we have to grow up and recognize all the nuances as adults. The Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible notes that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector in the city of Jericho. Jericho was on the main road between Joppa and Jerusalem and the country east of the Jordan River. So Jericho was known for its palm groves, its balsam and fig trees. It was active with people and goods. It was a prosperous city. Zacchaeus was a chief or a head tax collector, and he was rich. He was sort of what we might call a district tax commissioner. He probably had purchased the Jericho tax franchise from the Roman government. He then farmed out to subordinate tax agents who did the actual collecting. All of them were reaping huge commissions and getting rich off of the rich and poor people alike. When Jesus, his disciples, and a crowd of followers, it was probably the sick and the curious, when they came through Jericho on the way to Passover in Jerusalem, it must have created quite a commotion. Perhaps Zacchaeus happened to be walking in the street, or maybe he was at his place of business, and he wondered who could be attracting such a crowd during the middle of the day. There's no indication that he had personally met Jesus before, as Scripture puts it this way, because Zacchaeus tried to see who Jesus was. Because Zacchaeus was short of height, he could not see over the great throng of people and probably didn't want to mingle in there among them. So anticipating that Jesus, who was moving slowly along where the crowd would pass a certain way, he ran ahead. One does wonder why Zacchaeus was so determined to see Jesus. Was it simply that this man was drawing a crowd? Or had he overheard people talking? One would suspect that a rich tax commissioner would know the pulse of his city and crowds coming. Could it be that without Zacchaeus realizing it, God was drawing him that day? For whatever reason, Zacchaeus was determined to throw society norms to the curb, and he just hiked up his robe and he climbed up in a sycamore fig tree, which was common in the area. Jesus stopped and he looked up and he saw him. Zacchaeus was perhaps surprised, maybe embarrassed, with the crowd looking up at the chief tax collector in a tree. Astonishingly, Jesus called him by name, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus quickly came down. He joyfully received Jesus in his home. He welcomed Jesus and his disciples with conversation, probably a meal. When they saw it, they all complained, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Sometimes pronouns can be frustrating. They, who are they? Perhaps since it says they all complained, this action of Jesus displeased a mixed group of people. Maybe the religious leaders were annoyed that Jesus went to the home of the worst of sinners, a tax collector. The Life Application Study Bible, the New Living Translation, states to finance their great world empire, the Romans levied taxes on all those nations under their control. The Jews opposed these taxes because, first of all, it was a secular government, and second, it had pagan gods. But still, Jews were forced to pay. So tax collectors were among the most unpopular in Israel. They were Jews by birth. They chose to work for Rome and were considered traitors. Besides, it was common knowledge that tax collectors were making themselves rich by gouging their fellow Jews. Maybe the sick were disappointed that Jesus was taking time and stopping in this home. It was obvious a healthy man able to climb trees, but he was taking time from healing them. The poor could be distraught that Jesus was hobnobbing with a rich man who stole from the poor. Perhaps the hardworking person was irritated that Jesus was the home of a man that taxed them at every turn. Could be that even true believers following Jesus wondered why the delay for this sinful man. As they all grumbled and complained, Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." The conversion of Zacchaeus must have caused quite a stir. A hated tax collector, a collaborator with the oppressive Romans, had become a disciple of Jesus. Thousands of conversions during Jesus' ministry are not recorded, but the author Luke decided to tell this story. It is a story that will always be remembered. Here, great opposites met, the chief of sinners and the chief of love, and love is triumphant. Zacchaeus' life was completely transformed through Jesus. Spontaneously, he openly confesses the sins of his life. His words reveal that his sin was that he had not given to the poor and he had earned his money dishonestly. Jewish custom was that 1/5 of a man's annual income should be given for works of love. But Zacchaeus went far beyond that. "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." Before, he had acted out of greed. Now he acted out of love. He would give half of what he had. Secondly, because he knew that he had not gotten all of his wealth through just or fair means, he offered twice the restitution which thieves must make under Jewish law. He would restore fourfold. Zacchaeus' conversion is an example of true Christian rebirth. He received Jesus with great joy, and he showed tangible evidence of faith and repentance. His life changed. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." When Jesus said that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, and yet he was lost, he must have shocked his hearers in at least two ways. First of all, they would not have liked to acknowledge that the unpopular tax collector was a fellow son of Abraham. And second, they would not have wished to admit that sons of Abraham could be lost. A person is not saved because of a good heritage or condemned by a bad one. Faith is more important than genealogy or family. Jesus came to save all the lost, no matter what their background or their previous way of life. Through faith, the lost can be forgiven and made new. Are you a tree climber? I am, or at least I was growing up. My favorite tree wasn't even at my house. I grew up in Moody when it was a crossroads and cattle crossings, and our dirt drive had a lot of roots in it. And at the top of the hill, as you came down from County Road 10, was my neighbor's house. They had the perfect tree. It was a tall tree, yet it had lower limbs for getting a climbing start. And the limbs were sturdy and they branched out. It swayed gently in the wind. With no regard for trespassing, I climbed that tree that wasn't even visible from my home. In some ways, tree climbing was the opposite of my core personality. I longed for safety and security. Yet tree climbing was worth the risk for the experience. In 2019, I was at Camp Sumatonga for a gathering of the clergy with Bishop Deborah Wallace Paget. It was a good experience of worship and fellowship, preaching and teaching. One of the guest preacher teachers was Bishop Bob Farr of the Missouri Conference, and he commented, "We live our lives in tension between safety and risk. We like safety, but sometimes we take a risk to get where we want to get or do what we want to do. Every culture has people that some consider untouchable. Their way of earning a living, their lifestyle, their political views, their treatment of others, their care of the earth, their way of spending money, maybe it's their recreation, their language, their worship, their opinions, their judgment, their deeds. There's something about them that isn't acceptable. Yet Jesus came to save them. Jesus came to save us. If we're honest, we're all somewhere on a journey, like Zacchaeus. There's something that makes us feel safe and secure that we want to hold on to. Yet there's something different that we want to do, or we want to become different than we are. Are we willing to take a risk and believe in Jesus? Are we willing to believe that if we do the right thing, that God will save us from destruction and give us life? Are we willing to trust in the promises of God? Are we willing to take a risk and trust in the riches of our faith? Are we willing to live a life based on God's values? Many of the saints that we remembered and honored today were willing to take a risk to be saved by Jesus and change their lives. Are we willing to believe in the God of salvation? We're all on a journey of becoming more like Jesus. We have people that we have not treated fairly. God can give us the opportunity to make things right so that others can know that we're saved by God through Jesus Christ. Yes, salvation has come into our hearts and homes. We are one of the saved souls. May we take a risk and help others to know Jesus. May all souls be saved for God's glory. Let us pray. Eternal God, thank you for Jesus Christ coming to seek and to save us who were lost. Help us show our salvation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.